All right, ladies and gentlemen, time to switch the old gears, as we like to do on the program. We're going to talk NIL, okay? NIL stands for Name, Image, License, okay? Now, you've heard NIL come up in college as far as the sports and everything else, where players basically get paid for that. Name, image, likeness, licensing. There's a lot going on here. And to help me along with the conversation is a leading attorney who it was brought to my attention through our A's producer, Mr. Jacob Vila, that Michael Priwas wanted to come on. He, of course, of the great law firm of Priwas Greenberg. And Mike, nice enough to give us a couple of minutes on this subject. We say good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Is it correct, my pronunciation of your last name?
It's perfect. It's Priwas.
There you go. I got it right. How about that? All right, Michael, give me a sense, because this has gotten a lot of play here. We got the NCAA tournament really beginning tonight in Dayton. It's a great 3 weeks and everything else. But listen, we have all been blanketed with this NIL stuff and a transfer portal, and it has really kind of upset the ingredients of college sports, of what we all love. We love it because we see what happens in the professional ranks. You can say greed and everything else. Well, guess what? That is metastasized now down to lower levels. So in essence, this is what we're dealing with, correct?
I don't want to say that it's good or bad. It just is. I personally am excited by it. I think it's opened up a lot of opportunities for people who wouldn't have had opportunities before. I don't know if you remember, but you know the whole Johnny Manziel scandal back in around 2012, where you know Johnny Football got in trouble for signing autographs. Because he made money off of it. Other people could make money off of it, but he couldn't. And so, now I think college athletes and now high school athletes and other types of performers, but especially athletes is the context we know NIL most. We hear most about NIL in other realms. It's known as rights of publicity. But this has been going on for a while. It started back, I think, really in earnest with Ed O'Bannon from UCLA wanting to get some compensation for appearing on an EA video game. And in fact, EA, now that the NCAA has been found to be in violation of antitrust laws, and NIL is now acceptable. It's still, the NCAA is still trying to regulate it. But now these athletes can make some money. Now, how much money, it depends on the athlete and their agents and their lawyers. But to give you an idea, when EA faced this, about 15 years ago, they picked up their ball and went home. They stopped making NCAA products until now, and they just offered for a new NCAA football 24 $600 to all 17,000. I think it's 17,000. It's a crazy number of athletes. And they gave a deadline, accept it or be substituted for an avatar on the video game. So this is a lot of practicality with, negotiations. But it also is based on changes in the law and also the regulating body that is the NCAA that is super powerful.
Go ahead, Mike. Finish your point.
One of the things I think is really opened up athletes is women and girls. I was just at the gym yesterday, and I saw a girl wearing an NCAA. Actually, I don't even know if it was an actual Iowa uniform, but it was a Caitlin Clark uniform. And everywhere she goes, she sells out arenas. I do believe she and Angel Reese, I think, are two of the most prominent collegiate athletes out there. And now they have a way to enjoy financially the gains on that level as well.
Listen, and we're talking with Mike Prowess on the nil factor of college sports, that's name, image, likeness, and getting paid for it. And listen, I'm a little torn on this because I'm kind of old school. I'm about the purity and everything else of what college sports is really all about. My kid played at one of my three, played Division III football. I loved it, the camaraderie and everything else. I'm just afraid that it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be evaporated. And that's my biggest concern, Mike. One of the big ones is I think it could create, kind of an uneven playing field for college athletics. You know, while some states have passed legislation to allow the athletes to profit from their nil, others haven't. And that means some schools may have more financial resources to offer, I'm talking about potential recruits here, giving them kind of that unfair advantage over schools and states without these nil laws, So I'm concerned about that, the seesaw is tipping a little bit. Another one is I think it could lead to the professionalization of college sports. If you allow these athletes to profit sponsorships, endorsements, you can make the case it kind of gives it a cloudy type of look between amateur and professional sports. This could lead to a shift in focus, from that experience from an educational standpoint to the financial benefits of playing college sports. That's where the purity comes into play for me. This is what I'm afraid of. It's the altering of what we once knew. Now, listen. Everybody has a right to make a buck. If the institution is making a buck on you, hey, there is something wrong with that. So there's got to be some sort of a balance here, is what I'm saying,
I think you have your view of college athletics is shared by a lot of people. My alma mater is Northwestern University, and I'm proud to say that the Northwestern football players back in 10 years ago really started something that was really considered radical, and they brought before the NLRB the idea that really college athletes should be treated like employees because they are getting something of value. Yes, a college education, but they're working 40 hours a week, and it's like having a full-time job on top of an education. And they lost that, but you heard about one of the reasons they lost that was because Northwestern is the only private school in the Big Ten, or it was at the time. I'm not sure. Expanded so much. I think USC is joining the Big Ten now. Now you have this Dartmouth case and all the Ivy League is private. So the Dartmouth basketball players seem to have a lot more traction with the case that they can unionize and they should be considered employees, very much like they just joined the SEIU. SEIU, you have work study students, and in many ways, I think the college athletes recognize that while it's wonderful to get an education, that they recognize that their value to the institutions is not being properly repaid with an education. I have two sons who are athletes now, both in high school. And I would like to think that if they were popular with fans, that they could engage on a more retail level with them. I heard what Rick Pitino said, and I think it resonated for a lot of people. Being able to offer NIL opportunities, first of all, gives an opportunity for colleges and agents to and other types to really do some nefarious things. But I really liked what Rick Pitino had to say, which is, and I think this is more the transfer portal than NIL, except for the prospects of NIL leading to more transfers, is the idea that, you know, I want to be able to bench players so they can, you know, in their freshman year, or redshirt players, so they can watch and experience and practice, but I can develop them to become champions later on. I think that is a real issue, but I'm not sure that that's NIL as much as the transfer portal.
Well, you know, listen, I think we agree to disagree. I think we agree on a couple of different points. You know, there's a reason why you have folks like Roy Williams and Coach K, and even more recently Nick Saban, you know, have bowed out of the ranks of coaching, because they know the deal. You know, they know the deal as far as where this has gone with NIL. Not only that, transfer portal, but that's a whole nother issue. But I just think that, you know, college athletes, I get it. They want fair compensation and everything else, but there are a lot of concerns about the negativity on everything. We mentioned the uneven playing field. I mentioned the professionalization of college sports. You know, there's a lack of focus on academics and athletics. You know, team cohesion, I'm worried about that as well. All this has to be addressed, Mike, all of it. And it's very important, I think, overall. The common denominator here to me is a balance, is the word balance. You must strike some sort of balance between providing these athletes with fair compensation and maintaining, you know, what I think is one of the more important aspects, and that is integrity. When you lose the integrity of what college sports is all about, well, guess what? We've lost a lot. Somehow, some way, the better minds than you and I have to come together to make sure that is a level playing field. There's something to be said about that. Integrity means so much in life, and especially in this world. I'll let you have the final point.
I agree with that. I don't know that it's ever been a level playing field. And you have three divisions, NCAA, you have the NAIA. And one of the things I would say is, if you're a small school, now you can offer the opportunity to be a big fish in a little pond. If you're in a small college town and that local business wants to, you know, feature you, in their advertising, let's say, I think that there's something to be said for allowing college athletes to shine in new ways than they've been able to before, especially when billions, if not trillions, of dollars are being made on the backs of these athletes. But I do agree that we have to really pay close attention that that the integrity of the game is not subverted.
It is not subverted at all, and we must keep in mind that, you know, you turn on any given Saturday in the fall, I don't think there's anything like it when you see 90,000 plus at any stadium around this great country doing what they're doing. And that certainly signifies what we're talking about here. You take that away, you take that aspect away, you're going to disappoint, I think, a lot of folks out there. That's why there has to be some sort of a balance. Mike Prywitz, well done. Travis Greenberg. Hopefully, we will invoke your play as far as verbiage is concerned in this very, very important subject. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it all.